Take your Bible and turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings in chapter 22. 2 Kings in chapter 22. Now, I'll give you on this as we go through this. The last part of this, we'll look at 2 Chronicles. But 2 Chronicles just over two books after 2 Kings. But that's what we've said as we studied through these books, that when you're looking at the Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles, you can a lot of times find something that may be not the full story that you see maybe in Kings, and you can see in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, where maybe you can get a little more as both of them put together. But let me read, and of course 2 Chronicles, if you have an old Schofield, is on about 449. But let me read beginning at verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Boshcoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We do pray for the needs and woes that have been mentioned this morning in prayer. We pray as we look into thy word, you might speak to our heart. We just pray the Holy Spirit of God would have his will and way with each one of us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we mentioned this, it sounds like a long outline, and we're not going to be able to look at all of these verses, but I'm going to try to bring the gist of it to us as we look at these. But the reign of Josiah, and of course, as we look at this, 2 Kings 22 and 23, as well as also the same thing is mentioned in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. Now, first, Josiah humbled before the Lord. 1 Kings 22, verse 1 and 2. Second, Josiah repairs the temple. 2 Kings 22, 3 through 7. It's also mentioned in 2 Chronicles 34, 8 to 13. Thirdly, Josiah brought the scriptures, 2 Kings 22, 8 to 20, and 2 Chronicles chapter 34, 14 to 28. Fourthly, Josiah's covenant and reform, 2 Kings 23, 1-20, and also it's recorded in 2 Chronicles 34, 29-33. Fifthly, Josiah and the Passover, 2 Kings 23, verse 21-27, and 2 Chronicles 35, 1-19. Fourthly, Josiah's death, 2 Kings 23, 28-30, and then also in 2 Chronicles 35, 20-27, we'll be turning to that towards the end of the message. But Josiah is the last recorded good king for the southern kingdom of Judah. Before the captivity in Babylon, he was only 8 years old. He reigned for 41 years, 640 BC to 608 BC. His mother's name was Jediah, and surely she was the spiritual guide, for it surely was not his father. If you remember last time, as we talked of Ammon, who was a very wicked king, we know in his heart was tender towards the Lord, and he humbled himself before him. Chapter 22, 19 to 20. His reforms and turning the nation towards the Lord from false idol worship. God would honor, and the captivity of Babylon caused by his wicked grandpa, really, who first part of his ministry was bad, and at the end of his ministry he came to the Lord. But because of that, though, 2 Kings 23, 26 and 27, as well as 24, 3, that the captivity would not be during this man's reign, but his grandfather was so wicked that they had all went and really crossed the line and it would take place. But notice, as we look first of all, Joshua humbled before the Lord. And I read those first two verses. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, now the daughter of Adadiah. Now, as you think of that, I mentioned that, and I read that again because, really, I remember it was Dr. McGee, I think, said that some of the kings you'll see the mother mentioned. A lot of them you don't. And he brought out a point that we don't know for sure, but it sounds worth listening to. He said, usually when the mother's name is mentioned, that the mother had something to do with him spiritually, whether good or bad. And of course, this was for the good. But he was the last good king. The assassination of his father, Ammon, who was an ungodly king, and this youngster went to the throne at 8 years old. His mother's name, of course, Jedidiah, and of course, she surely had something to do with him living for the Lord. You know, as you think of this too, his grandfather was really good in the last part of his ministry. But you know, if you think of that, he was 8 when he began to rule, so that was when his father was killed. And of course, he reigned 2 years. He would be 6 years old when his grandfather died. And I would imagine that he wouldn't remember a whole lot from him. But I'm sure his mother had a lot to do with his spiritual life. Also, as you would go on in this, it could be true, as we'll see, Hilkiah, who was the high priest, probably was one that had something to do with teaching in the Word of God as he was a young man. As well, he followed the ways of David, and surely his salvation was at a young age. Now, secondly, Josiah repaired the temple. 2 Kings 23, 3-7 is also recorded in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 8-13. He has them take inventory of the collection that they had at the temple. And verse 3 and 4, Josiah at 18 sends Shaphan, to the high priest, Hilkiah, to inventory the money that they had collected there at the temple. And of course, what it was to be used for was to rebuild the temple, because his father, of course, was an evil king and he had caused much problem, and really the temple had not been tended to. Now notice verse 5, and let them deliver it into the hands of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches and the of the house. Now, to repair the temple. You know, I like that term, the doers. You know, a lot of times in churches, you can have a lot of people that are the tellers, but what you need is a lot of doers. That's what's really going to build a church, is some people doing. And of course, to buy timber, to hew stone, and to repair the temple. In verse 7, they were trustworthy and faithful doers too. In 2 Chronicles 34, verse 11, the blame, the destruction on the previous king, of course, was his father. And of course, we know that he was an evil king. And of course, he had even allowed some of the worship that really was wrong and was false, even being done in the temple. Now notice secondly, and as we turn to chapter 22 and verse 8, Josiah brought the scripture. 2 Kings 8 verse 20, and it's also recorded in 2 Chronicles 34, 14 to 18. Notice verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Now they found the book of the law, and you can understand why they were so far away from God. You know, it hadn't been that long since, you know, that his father only ruled for 2 years, but they had all that was went on with his grandfather before, and they found the book of the law. Now the book of the law is surely, as many believe, is probably the first five books of the Bible. And of course, that would be like the church today. You know, if we didn't have a Bible, now I'll say this, there's a lot of churches that don't have it. A lot of them have the Bible, and they may read a scripture, but as soon as the scripture goes away and they read it, they go off on talking about something, current events or something to that extent. And that surely won't help the people grow in the Lord, nor will it bring anyone to Christ. Now in verses 9 and 10, Shaphan reported to the king about the repair and shared with him the book of the law that they had found. And of course, he read a portion to the king. Warren Wiersbe tells us that he may have read or brought him to the Deuteronomy, because in Deuteronomy, the very thing that they were doing, in Deuteronomy 4 through 13, it would be conviction of what they had done, of turning from the Lord. In chapter 14 through 18, what they had not done. And of course, that's one thing that usually comes. If you don't have the Word of God, you're not going to be doing the things you should do, and you'll be doing a lot of things you shouldn't do too. He warned them that chapter 27 to 30 speaks of what God would do when they would not obey Him and turn from Him. Now in verse 11, it brought conviction to the heart of the king. And of course, he rent his clothes, and then he sent to inquire of the Lord and the book, and of course, going and pouring his heart out to the Lord as well. In verse 14, they go to one, and of course, that she shares with them about this. In verses 15 to 20, this is a prophetess, this is a woman though. She says that God will bring evil upon this place for their forsaking the Lord for other gods, but because of the tender heart of the king, Josiah, it touched his heart and it touched his reign. You know, that's one thing too. You know, there's a lot of difference in a church when people listen. Some people, they just hear words, but you know, it's when it touches your heart. You know, it gets down to your heart. That's what changes lives. That's what changes even Christians' lives. You know, when it take it to the heart. Even though Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, had turned to the Lord late in his reign, his early reign was so evil that the Lord would not forgive them, and that the Babylon would come and take them into captivity. 2 Kings 23, verse 26, 24, 3, Jeremiah 15, 1 to 4. And of course, as we've talked before, sometimes people can cross a line and judgment will come. Now notice fourthly, Josiah's covenant and reform, 2 Kings 23, 1 to 20, and 2 Chronicles 34, 29 to 33. Let me read verses chapter 23, 1 and 2. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders and of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priest and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Now they're getting back to the word of God. People today often wonder why people stray away from the truth. And you know, there's a lot of churches years ago that used to be sound and fundamental in the truth, but they've gone far from it. The big thing they've done, they've just turned away from the word of God. They had maybe a party and had a little good time, and there's nothing wrong with having suppers and all like that. But you know, the main reason we want to come, though, is to win people to Christ is also to teach people the word of God so they can do the work of God, be one of those doers that we saw earlier. The word of God is not taught and preached in a systematic way. Then they don't have the entire word of God today taught in a lot of churches. But you know, I think it's very important. I often bring topical or textual messages, but you know, I like the times when we do try to take a book and go through it. And when you touch all the bases, you know, he gave us 66 books, and you know, a lot of folks, they never open the back of the Old Testament. Look at all that we'd miss in these studies if we didn't even study the Old Testament. Two sides, the giving of the word of God so folks can know and understand, and of course the acceptance is all important, of accepting it. And you know, the people, and I think here as we see, this really affected the king's life, and the people, they say that as they go through this, that they stand with him in a sense. But you know, we know that it reached the heart of the king, and I'm sure it doesn't reach all of their hearts, because we'll see that just as soon as this man passes away, they go back to the old ways. Now in chapter 23, and I'm not going to read these verses, but there's so many, I'm just going to try to bring up what is in those verses. In verse 3, the king stands and makes a covenant to walk with the Lord, keeping his commandments, his testimony and statute, with all their heart and soul. And the last phrase of verse 3, all the people stood, and I would take for that, they were standing with him, stood to the covenant, but the time passed, the king's heart and soul was touched, but surely not all the people were touched, because they do return to the same evil ways after this man passes on. Now Josiah's reformation in verses 4 to 20 in chapter 23, the king begins to obey the covenant of the Lord. He removes the false worship and the articles of those idols that were in the temple. He removed and burnt the groves with the false worship. He removed the idolatrous, the priest, who had appointed. In verse 7, he broke down the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, as well as women idolaters. And of course, verse 10, some were worshiping Hinnon, which really was that human sacrifice. And you know, as people say today, and I hear in our politics today, how they're, we got to have abortion on the thing. Well, I don't think it's any different than these people offering sacrifices with little babies. Right. And that's the same thing. They're doing that for their own protection or their own life, and not worried about that baby. He destroyed the altars that the grandfather Manasseh had made. And of course, some of those Manasseh had taken some of them back, but not all of them. He had a short time. He even went to Bethel. Now, this is going out of what Judah had at that time. We know that the northern kingdom, that they had already been taken into bondage by the Assyrians. But he went to Bethel and the high places that Jeroboam. Now, this is the one who really took the northern kingdom. If you remember when the kingdom split, the son of Nebat, he made Israel sin at the beginning of the division of the nation. In verses 17 through 18 of chapter 23, he comes across the burial place of the man of God from Judah. Now, if you remember when we first started these studies, in right after Solomon, there was this man, this prophet, who had gone to Jeroboam and brought the word of God to him that what he's doing and what was wrong about it, and he had died, and of course, if you remember, he kind of got led astray in that, but you know, they found his grave. But when the king realized who it was, that he said, leave him there, and left him buried in his grave at that time, because he knew that he had tried to turn Jeroboam from the false worship that he was bringing on the people. We see in our day, as well as in the day that we live in, when those who profess to follow the Lord begin to turn from the word of God, it opens up the door and all types of evil worship. And of course, has nothing to do with God, but the God of this world. And of course, the God of this world is Satan. Now, I remember, and I said this before, I remember a fellow that came to our church, and he told me one time, he said, I like that gospel preaching. And I told him, well, I like that gospel preaching too. But you know, I also like that studying like we're doing today and like we do in Sunday school. And you know why that a lot of Christians, they like that gospel preaching when you're just preaching the gospel, but they don't like that teaching the word of God. And really, we're supposed to do both. That's what Matthew 28 tells us about the Great Commission. We're to win people, bring them into the fellowship of the local church, and then to teach them the word of God so they can serve the Lord and win others and be used of him. But you know why a lot of Christians don't like to study the Bible and study it systematically? Because when you just study the gospel, and that's the only thing you're studying, you're talking and it gets onto the skin of the unbeliever to bring them to Christ. But you know, when you get to studying the Bible, and even in the Old Testament scriptures, God begins to touch the Christians and gets onto them and the believers and their life. If the church or the Old Testament temple worship then departed from the word of God, it ceased to do the ministry that God had ordained it to do. Let us worship, from verse 3, with the heart. You know, there's so much religion today that is just outward. They kind of go through a ceremony and all of this, and you know, that's all it is. But you know, when it reaches your heart, and it's the word of God that's going to reach your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God applying it to your life, whether it be bringing you to salvation or as a believer growing in the Lord. Now notice, fifthly, Josiah and the Passover, 2 Kings 23, verse 21, and 2 Chronicles 35, 1-19. Look at verse 21 and 22 there in 23, chapter 23. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, and as it is written in the book of the covenant. Surely there is not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the kings of Judah. Now this young king, he wanted to worship the Lord and serve him completely and go back to the old covenant that God had given them, to worship the Lord in the Passover. And of course, the Passover took place the 18th year of Josiah, 621 B.C. He would be about 26 years old, and he had been seeking the Lord from the age of 18, 2 Kings 22:3, 10 years. But his response to the word of God surely shows the maturity in the Lord that he had. As we said of the age of grace we live in today, God has made the means available that really a Christian can be as spiritual as you want to be. You know, it's the whole word of God is there, and if you allow yourself and to teach it and to listen to it and put it to practice and live by it, you can be as spiritual as you want to be. And of course, we know as a Christian today, when you trust Christ as your Savior, 2 Peter 1:4, you receive the divine nature. Now, I believe that is really the desire that God puts within the believer to want to serve him. But also, you have the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that's the power source. As we know the Word of God and desire to do it, he's there to help us. And he's also the one that is the author of the Word of God. Holy men of old spoke as they were led by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit can help us as we begin to live for him. In 2 Chronicles 23, verse 22, and also 2 Chronicles 35:18 was 23:22 in 2 Kings. There was not such Passover from the days of Samuel. We will see in the next section of the death that he had some problems, but he had a great zeal and the deal desire to serve the Lord and to practice the word of God and to live by it. In verse 25 of verse 23 of 2 Kings, there was no king before or after him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and might as Josiah. You know, you get into the heart again. You know, does the things of God reach your heart? His life and reign put off the judgment of God in the Babylonian captivity, verse 26 to 27, but it did not remove it. For the sins of his grandfather Manasseh was so great that he had crossed a line. And of course it's coming, but it would not come in his reign. But the last part of this, Josiah's death, I'm going to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and just read a few verses here to really sum it up, because it brings out some that really the 2 Kings doesn't bring it out. And really, you got at the end of 2 Kings, you got 1 Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles is where you have 2 Chronicles. But let me read verse 35 and verse 20. After all of this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against, some scholars tell us that this could be against or for, Charchim, king of Syria, by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now Egypt comes up not to go against, as many believe, but many, there's a differing opinion here of what, where he's coming against Syria or he's coming to assist Syria as they're fighting Babylon. But historians tell us that at this time Assyria had become weaker and weaker. And this, of course, was as Babylon was beginning to get stronger and stronger with the attacks of Assyria. And Egypt feared Babylon, and it was going to assist them. Josiah, evidently, he went out, and of course, he wasn't pleasing really to God in what he did. And he goes out against the Egyptian king. And of course, they met at Megiddo, 50 miles north of Jerusalem. In verse 21, the king of Egypt sent an ambassador to Josiah, making it clear he's not coming against Judah, and saying that God commanded him to come against his enemy, Babylon, who is attacking Assyria. Now, I don't know, but as you look at this, it's almost as if the Lord is really leading this Egyptian. I don't know how it took place. I don't know what he's seeking. Some have thought, well, he's just seeking another God, his own God. But as we go through this, you'll see what I mean here. But we do not see Josiah seeking God, the God of heaven, before he takes out against Egypt. You know, that's where he's falling short. He was really living and on fire for the God, Lord. But as this is taking place, I don't know all the situation, but he just took it in hand without seeking the Lord's advice. In fact, in chapter 35, verse 22, it speaks about hearkening not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. Could the Lord be speaking through this king and trying to tell the king of Judah that what he was doing, that the Lord had led him? Now look at verse 23. And the archer shot at the king Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." Now, Joshua is hit with an arrow. I don't know why he's saying Joshua. My glasses need changing, but it's getting bad, isn't it? Josiah is hit with an arrow. even with Josiah's disguise, because in verse 22 he had disguised himself to not look as the king, but the arrow was shot, and of course it killed the king who was in disguise, verse 24, in 609 B.C. If it is, as the secular history has it, was going against Babylon, it will be Babylon in 586 B.C. that will really be the one to take the Jews, the Israel, the southern, the Judah, the southern kingdom, into captivity. This godly king, Josiah, during his reign, God held back the captivity, but because of his sin, his grandfather of Manasseh, the kings to follow, which are his sons, will be ones that are evil too. But notice in conclusion, the last of the godly kings of Judah was this young man who began to reign at the age of 8. Surely his mother, Jediah, had part in this man worshiping the Lord as he did. You know, that shows the importance as we raise our children, as we raise them for the Lord. Surely the high priest, Hilkiah, probably had something to do with his growth in the Word of God, as he was the priest, high priest. I'm sure he's helped him and taught him the Word. After the discovery of the Word of the Law, probably the first 5 books of the Bible, he set his heart to study and obey the truth within. Oh, let it reach your heart, folks. Let it reach your heart, the Word of God. You see how far they had gone down, and during this time, the Word of God was not taught to the people, nor studied by the spiritual leaders during the reign of his father. Does our heart burn as we see this young man, as the Word of God was found, and the desire to study and to learn and to live by it? Oh, if we all would come to that same place. Yet we see in many so-called religious groups the same spiritual famine in the world today. As one has said, sermonettes for Christianettes. The Word of God is not taught and studied in its entirety by many religious groups. And without the book, you only have a club and surely not a worship center for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We'll begin next time in 2 Kings 23:31, and we'll see the rest of those kings, and we'll see that time that, of course, the Babylonians will come. But you know, we always like to close with the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friend, the first thing you have to realize before becoming a Christian, you got to realize you have a need, that you're sinners. And of course, we can't work our way to heaven. There's no way in the world. But to realize that we're sinners and we need a Savior. In the book of John, chapter 3, it makes it clear, that little book, that little verse we call the gospel in a nutshell, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very simple. When you realize you're a sinner and there's nothing you could do, and you say, Lord, I have nothing to bring. All the works I do, what I give to the church or anything else, that doesn't have anything to do with bringing salvation. But I realize that your Son went to that cross out of love for me, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, he paid my sin debt. And right now, I'm trusting what he did and that alone. I'm trusting him and him alone as my Savior. And friend, if you'll do that, he'll save you and change your life. And then don't do as so many. Get in a church and study the Word of God and live the Word of God. And let this king, Josiah, be an example for us. How he touched his heart. Let the Word of God touch your heart. Not just your mind. You know, the mind, of course, is where we bring it in. But I think that's one thing that's missing so much in the church today. That's why we just kind of go through the life and, well, Sunday's God's. But, you know, if you're a Christian, it ought to be every day. I'm going to be quiet for just a moment here. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about something. But if he is, just come forward, and I'd love to share with you. Or maybe if someone listens on the internet, that you'd come and touch and to look to Christ for your Savior. Let's bow our head just for a moment.